Today we're beginning part one of lesson five, and we'll be speaking about baptism. And just so that you understand, this video is kind of an auxiliary presentation for the lessons that we send out for people to study and to answer the questions, send them back, and there's 21 lessons, and if you are willing to go through them all, we will give you a certificate of completion. And it's a wonderful study. Many things are exemplified and explained about Scripture in them. The purpose of Yahweh's Assembly in Yahshua's Bible Correspondence Course is to help the participant discover what the Bible really says about the basic tenets found in Scripture. The tenets examined can be found in YAIY's Fundamentals of Faith mini-study. It is our belief that what is revealed in this course will provide a true understanding of the truths spoken of in Scripture and written there for our edification. Bible study can be an enjoyable experience. If you've studied and you've just had jaw-dropping moments, you understand what we're talking about. So for each lesson, after reading the information on the first page, it is recommended you diligently follow the directions for the Bible study portion before taking and returning your answers to the test. May your undertaking in search of the truths found in Scriptures be informative, heartwarming, and long-lasting. Okay, lesson five on baptism. Throughout the centuries, many have come to understand that they have an obligation to change their lives and that the help to do so comes from the Heavenly Father through His Son. Most people miss the mark, though, as they don't call on the correct and only name of the Savior, Yahshua. The just penalty for breaking the Father's law is death. As Paul talks about the law of sin and death, if you sin, you die. Yahshua came as a perfect sacrifice for mankind so that man, through faith in Yahshua, does not have to die. Baptism is a symbolic burial requirement showing that one is willing to fully commit to a new way of life in Messiah, who came to save mankind and to set the right example. He, of course, was sinless. The burial of the old sinful nature is one step needed to walk anew in spirit and in truth. Yahweh's spirit and Yahweh's truth. Repentance, which is the comprehension, remorse, and turning away from breaking Yahweh's laws, is first needed even before baptism in Yahshua's name. Once one is baptized, there is to be the laying on of hands from the eldership, that is, from the presbytery or overseers, sometimes referred to as shepherds, who themselves are anointed for the position and are obedient to the law and have faith in Yahshua, the Messiah. Some don't understand that baptism literally means immersion and not just sprinkling water over someone's head. Such traditions come from men and not from Yahweh's word. Other teachings that teach one needs only to believe and accept the Messiah as their own personal savior are clearly rejecting the full instructions for us that we find in the Bible. Even the age is clearly to be examined, for how can a child, even if they are close to adulthood, fully comprehend the magnitude or seriousness of their actions? Science has recently shown that the frontal lobe, the planning and focusing region of the brain in humans, has not fully been developed until the age of about 20. It is no less interesting to see it is the exact age Yahweh has shown us to be the proper age of accountability in the Bible, and you might want to refer to a study that we have by the same name to see this in more depth. Though baptism is not for those under the age of accountability, parents are to teach their children from Scripture. And by doing so, they will be trained to discern right ways from wrong ways and can be ready later for such a serious commitment of which there is no turning back. Baptism is a serious step in the right direction for those who fully plan and commit to being steadfast for Yahweh's way of life. Normally, those who find out that the baptism they thought was correct, a type of baptism of repentance, like those who were baptized by John the Baptist, will eventually commit to the one baptism that we are told in Scripture is the one we all need to partake of. After baptism comes a lifelong journey of overcoming the world, the self, and the evil one, Satan, who is after those closest to the truth of Yahweh's word. We are told, though, that we must take courage because Yahshua has overcome the world. It is he who set the example himself, being baptized, so that we have a perfect example to follow of true righteousness. Early on, we have examples to follow concerning baptism, and we can rest assured that we are to do the same once we've come to understand just how we have gone astray and must come back to Yahweh through repentance and baptism in Yahshua's name. Baptism in Yahshua's name is needed for the forgiveness of our transgressions and the previous trampling underfoot of Yahweh's instructions. The Bible has many storylines, from history, telling us of stories from the past, to prophecy, telling us of stories that will take place in the future. The goal of effective Bible study is to remember what one studies. Very few people can retain and recall what they read and where it can be found. To assist anyone along this line is to have you write down all the scriptures referred to in every session, in every lesson, and to answer and write down those answers to all questions asked. Doing this, one can more effectively find the answers to the questions given in the test, which is provided for each lesson. Now, before I begin the actual meat of the lesson, I want to tell you where this is all going. This presentation today is about baptism. And we typically think of baptism as something that we do for ourselves so that we can be saved and be in the kingdom. But I want you to understand that this is only part of the plan, that baptism is basically just a demonstration on our part that we're willing to follow the ways of Yahweh, that they're willing to be obedient to his will. Ultimately, in a grand or a broad sense, Yahweh is bringing back Israel to him. And he's given us his son, who has sent out his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that they might be restored back into the family of Israel, the family that Yahweh has chosen as his own. So let's begin. Lesson 5. We ask the first question, what prerequisite did some Corinthians affirm before Paul would baptize them? And we read in Acts 18, verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the master with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Let me note that the word translated believe is the Greek word pisteo, which means to have faith, and especially with respect to Yahshua. Before one is baptized, what is necessary for that person to do? And we find that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we also find in Acts 3, verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Master." Next question, toward whom must one repent? And we find the answer to that in Acts 20, verses 20 and 21. "I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward our Master Yahshua Messiah." Now what's interesting here, Luke is writing this, and the testimony is to Jews, in other words, the house of Judah, and also to Greeks. And in this context, what we understand is that Greeks are just not pagans. They're not just those who aren't familiar with the ways of Yahweh, but they are specifically Hellenized house of Israel, those who were scattered abroad 700 years before the Messiah, were taken to areas which were then in Assyria. And Yahshua has sent his disciples out to them. And in the book of Acts, when you see the word Greeks, it would be important for you to consider that many of those, not all, of course, but many of them are actually descendants of the tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north, referred to as the house of Israel, or the house of Joseph, or the house of Ephraim. The question is, toward whom must one repent? And we see, we've already covered that. The next question is, why must we repent? And when we read in Romans 3, verses 21 and 22, "But now the righteousness of Yahweh apart from the law is revealed." Now, I want to focus on this a little bit, because this is a very important verse to understand the true meaning to. This verse has been used to prosper the idea that the law of Yahweh is no longer relevant. And we read in the translation, the word apart is a word that implies a separation, that it's not important to consider. But that word apart means beside. If you can picture you standing next to someone, you are apart from them, but you are also together with them. When we read now the righteousness of Yahweh is together, is standing near the law, not apart from it. The question is, what is sin? Romans 5:13. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." And this becomes, this is another one of those verses that are used to teach that there is no law. Paul is talking about, when he says, "for until the law," he's speaking about until the law becomes effective. I mean, the law has always existed and will always exist, but until someone is presented with the law, then sin, although in the world, was not imputed, it was not accounted to that person because there is no law. In Romans 3, verse 21, we read, "But now the righteousness of Yahweh beside the law is revealed." And this is the correct meaning of that verse. We read the word beside. So consider it in context. "But now the righteousness of Yahweh beside the law," which implies that it's included. "The righteousness of Yahweh beside the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua Messiah to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference." It becomes ridiculous to teach that the law no longer exists when we read here that the righteousness of Yahweh, including the law, is witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's a testimony to the idea that people are willing to believe a teacher who himself has not been taught correctly. We rely on other people. And in Romans 3, verse 4, it says clearly, "Let Yahweh be true and every man a liar." We are not to trust mankind, basically, but read the scripture to see what scripture says about itself. And if you can do that, then you will have a correct understanding of scripture. And the verse continues, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance Yahweh had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Yahshua." What is sin? And we find that in 1 John 3, verse 4. "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." We can't really get any clearer than that. Committing sin is the same as committing lawlessness. Therefore, sin is lawlessness. Is one also to believe before one is baptized? Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. "Now, after John was put in prison, Yahshua came to Galilee, preaching the evangel of the kingdom of Yahweh and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent and believe in the evangel.'" Did Yahshua give the example of baptism? Matthew 3, 15 through 16. "But Yahshua answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Yahshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and alighting upon him." Since Yahshua came up out of the water after being baptized, it should be obvious that he did not have water sprinkled or poured on him. Who baptized Yahshua? Matthew 3, 13, 14. "Then Yahshua came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' So what type of baptism is John the Baptist called? Matthew 3, 4 through 6. "Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." And in verse 11 of Matthew 3, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And in Acts 19, verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Messiah, Yahshua. What does the law first do to the sinner who wishes conversion? In Romans 7, verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Why is it necessary, excuse me, for one to die in the sense presented here? In Romans 6, verse 5, we read, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And we ask, at this point, what are we not to do? Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Is baptism symbolic of burying the old self, the old man, the old person, and sinful ways of living? In Romans 6, verses 1 through 5, we read, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Are we baptized into Yahshua's death? Colossians 2, 11 and 12. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Messiah, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of Yahweh, who raised him from the dead. Is there one baptism in only one name? Or can we use the phrase that's often used, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13, we read, is Messiah divided? Was Paul impaled for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Obviously, the answer is no. In Acts 2, verse 38, we read, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yahshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We understand that the phrase that's often used when churches baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that's incorrect. That's a generalized statement, a commission to go out. In our previous studies, we've spoken about the Holy Spirit, which is not a personage, but is simply referring to the Spirit of Yahweh. In Acts 4, verse 12, we read, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only through believing in Yahshua and using his name, not a false title or any other name. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Can baptism in another name besides Yahshua save an individual? John 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And this is where Yahshua is pointing out to the Pharisees that they really don't understand. They've gotten so far away from the law of Yahweh and into their own laws and their own traditions that they don't recognize him. If they had recognized who he was, they would not have impaled him. Acts 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Another question, is it true that after genuine repentance, and when we speak of repentance, we're not simply referring to stop what you're doing. Repentance is not simply stopping what you're doing, recognizing that what you're doing is wrong. Repentance means to return to Yahweh, to return to him and be compliant and obedient to his laws and to his will. Is it true that after genuine repentance, baptism by immersion in water and into the saving name of Yahshua is a necessary act of consecration? Must we do that, is what we're asking. In Matthew 3, verses 13 through 15, then Yahshua came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Yahshua answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John, allowed him. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Yahshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It should be obvious that this description demonstrates that baptism is when someone is immersed underwater, symbolizing death. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yahshua Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as Yahweh our Elohim will call. And this phrase, to all who are afar off, is another demonstration that Yahshua came to bring back the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, back into Israel. They are far off. They've been scattered to the nations. Acts 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Acts 8, verses 16 and 17, we read, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, speaking of the Spirit of Yahweh. They had only been baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And this is the process by where we are justified. Justification is through believing in Yahshua Messiah, and baptism is evidence of that commitment to walk in the same way that Yahshua walked in obedience to his father. Many people mistake this idea, though, that being baptized gets you into the kingdom. And often the idea is that we're all going to heaven, which is not true. There's nothing in Scripture that even implies that people are going to be in the heaven along with Yahweh and Yahshua. To the contrary, the New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. It's being prepared now for us, but it is coming down to us. Scripture says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And during the reign of the Messiah, we will be here. Acts 10:34, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So the sins that we've committed up to the time of baptism will be remitted. In other words, they will be looked over. And again, many people believe that all of our sins have been forgiven. The past, the present ones that we're committing right now, and also the future sins that we plan to commit in the future are all forgiven. And that's far from the truth. Once we are baptized, and the elders have laid hands upon the person for receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit, all of the sins up to that time have been wiped away, essentially. They've been overlooked. They will not account to us on the day of judgment. But future sins are a problem. We do not have the privilege of committing sin. And this is a really vicious cycle. It's an improper argument that all of our sins, whenever we commit them, are forgiven. But this is a very common teaching. We must restrain ourselves from violating the laws of Yahweh. After baptism, this is especially important. We are given the Holy Spirit so that we can abide in the will of Yahweh and do his commandments. Acts 19, verses 5 through 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The word tongues there is the word languages, implying that they were able to speak the languages that so that people could understand. Romans 6, verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? Acts 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Master. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Question number 5 in our Bible study. Is baptism picturing subjugation and burial of the old carnal nature? Arising to serve in newness of life by Yahweh's Spirit. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And this is a meaning-packed verse that is often used, again, to as a proof text, used falsely to prove that the law of Yahweh is no longer applicable. Delivered from the law really means that we're delivered from the effects of the law. There is a law that's been given and is always true. If we sin, we die. Sinning leads to death, but obedience leads to blessings. We have been delivered from death because we no longer sin, or we do all that we can to obey Yahweh's commandments. Because we have died to what we were held by, And we're not held by the law, which is another misgiving. We are not held by the law. We are held by our flesh, wanting to do our own will and not the will of the Father. So that we would serve Yahweh in the newness of the Spirit, having received the Spirit, it is new to us, the Spirit of Yahweh, which when His Spirit abides in us, we want to do the law. And not in the oldness of the letter. Not having the Spirit and trying to abide in the law of Yahweh is extremely difficult. It's not impossible, but there is no one on earth who hasn't sinned at one time or another. We are in the flesh, and the flesh does rule as a law. Actually, Paul talks about there's a sin of Yahweh. I mean, there's the law of Yahweh. There's also the law of sin in our flesh, which he dramatizes very well in his struggle between the two. Romans 7, verses 1 through 3. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Again, this is a meaningfully packed set of verses. And it appears to be simply talking about a man and his wife and a woman and him granting her a divorce and her marrying someone else. The law that Yahweh writes is that that woman cannot remarry that man until he dies. And then at that time, she's not considered an adulteress. Well, why was Yahshua sent to die? He died in place as a proxy for Yahweh, so that in that death, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, would no longer be considered an adulteress, having worshipped idols, but now can be brought back in. And we talk about the bridegroom and the bride. Who are we talking about? Well, the bridegroom is obvious. It's Yahshua as a representative of Yahweh. And who's the bride? The bride are those who are willing to abide in Yahweh as the 10 tribes assimilated into the world. What's the world's leading religion? It's Catholicism, it's Christianity. Those who, in a very distant and twisted way, believe in the Messiah of Yahshua. But once they see the law and that the law is good, and once that those of Judaism see the Messiah, that he is the living word, then the two will be brought together by Yahweh into one, the whole house of Israel. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Messiah, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to Yahweh. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, from the effects of the law, by abiding in the law of Yahweh, having died to what we were held by, our flesh, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That the letter referring to trying to do the law without the Spirit. It's granted to us in a baptism honoring Yahshua. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, sacrificing our will, that is, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service, look at those two words. It's logical. It makes sense that we would serve Yahweh if we want to be a part of the family of Yahweh. And going on, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, thinking as Yahshua thought, honoring his Father and his Elohim and our Elohim, Yahweh Almighty. Be transferred by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20, we read, "For Messiah also died for sins once for all." He died only once, and that's the same as we are given. We die once. There is a second death that is the permanent death of those who oppose Yahweh. "For Messiah also died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to Yahweh, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of Yahweh kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water." Now you may have heard it preached that Yahshua went and visited spirits in prison, those who had died, and preached to them. That's not what this verse is saying. When we read, made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, in some versions the word now is left out. It's important to understand that the proclamation was made while the people were still alive. I'm talking about the spirits who are now dead. They received the word, but many of them rejected it. Many, meaning all of mankind except eight persons who honored Yahweh. And reading on in verses 21 and 22, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to Yahweh for a good conscience through the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, who is at the right hand of Yahweh, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. It's important to consider that baptism is for us, but it's also to create a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with His Son. And it's my prayer that as you consider these verses, that you will, if you haven't already, come to understand the nature and purpose of baptism and come into the fold of Yahweh.